the October 10th meeting of Ways and Means to Order. We only have one microphone, so you got to speak loud and clear so you can pick it up. And I have approval of the September 12th meeting minutes.
Make a motion.
Second. Go back. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carry. All motions are to adopt unless otherwise stated. If anybody wants to take anything out of order, now's the time to do it. I'm going to take 523 already out of order, but if there's any others, please. No? Okay. Let's get down to. Resolution number 523. Can I have a motion?
I'll make that.
Second?
Second?
Second. Discussion.
I'll start it off, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind.
I received a phone call from the county executive about the appointment of Eve Walters. Walter, I should say. I think she was a fine legislator and will make an excellent public health director. And I did tell the county executive that I would support her pick, as I believe with previous county execs, that they, you know, it's their government, they've been elected, they should have the people that they feel comfortable working with. But that did change when the email came out in the paper about Dr. Smith being more or less forced out. I think she was an excellent director of health, and I don't think, I think she should have been treated better than the way she was. So I'm going to be a no on this, with no offense to the incoming director of public health.
I would just like to talk about the comment about being forced out. I think that's a mischaracterization of what happened. It's my understanding that it's a six-year appointment, and it's the executive's prerogative to reopen that appointment process after 6 years. Dr. Smith served 2 6-year terms. Dr. Smith was invited to reapply for a 3rd 6-year term. Dr. Smith chose not to and chose to retire. That, to me, is very different from being forced out of a job.
That's your comments?
I respectfully disagree with my colleague. That's not what the Law and Rules Committee was told in March of this year when we were presented with a proposal to remove the licensed physician requirement from the health commissioner. We were told that it was simply to broaden the search. We were not told that there was a 6-year term, that Dr. Smith had fulfilled a 6-year term. So there certainly was critical omissions from that presentation to the Law and Rules Committee when the proposal to remove the physician requirement was first presented. So I think it is a fair characterization of Legislator Roberts to say that the doctor was, quote unquote, forced out. We can argue though over the semantics, but the reality is this committee, this legislature, was not given full and accurate information. And I think that's a very critical element in this. And this has nothing to do with Dr. Walter. Everything I've known about her, it appears she is a public health professional, but the issue really is the information that this legislature was given by the executive's office.
What's their comment?
To me, that's irrelevant. The previous commissioner resigned. Whether she resigned for whatever reason, she still resigned. That doesn't impact who we choose to take her place. Those are 2 separate issues. You may be upset that she resigned, but she did resign. She's not there. We need a public health director. We have someone who's applied for the job, who's qualified for the job. We have a county executive who's done an extensive search for that job. Yes, she may have resigned because she was asked to reapply for her job. I have to reapply for this job every 2 years. I have to ask the people who gave me this job every 2 years whether or not I'm still the best qualified person for this job. We all do that. What is so different about having someone have a 6-year term being told at the end of your 6-year term, I'm going to look for people, I'm going to look around. you know, I'm going to consider you, not consider anybody else, and I'll pick the most person that's most qualified. Just like the voters, every 2 years, pick the person they believe is most qualified for our jobs. So to say no to a qualified candidate because you're upset that someone resigns because they're asked to reapply for the job does not represent what we want to do in this county. It does not represent what we're trying to do. We need to have a public health commissioner. We can't go and get all upset like, oh, I don't like the way that the last one left. We need a public health commissioner. We need someone qualified. There is no question of the qualifications of Eve Walter. And we're not even talking about that. The objections of voting no is not about the objections to Eve Walter. It's about how the previous one resigned. So we're going to get stuck with that? Sorry, it's just, it's a little bit, I'll stop now.
Okay. Anybody else? Dr. Walter, would you like to say anything to the committee?
I'd be happy to. If you would. Sure.
It's your choice. I don't want to put you in more part in the.
Sure. Time. I mean, I do appreciate the offsets and not.
Can you come closer? We only have one mic. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you. I mean, I appreciate the speaking to my qualifications. I am happy to talk a little bit more. Maybe it will help you to be as excited about this as I am. I'm a PhD epidemiologist, which is the highest degree in public health. I, as an epidemiologist, I examine the risk factors for illness and the trends in health outcomes across different populations, including epidemics, which is where we get our name. And we look across different populations and in different demographics. So my experience includes infants and children and adolescents and adults and senior citizens, and also social determinants of health, of the impacts of housing insecurity and food insecurity. I hold a faculty appointment at Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and I've been practicing public health for over 20 years on all sorts of health topics, including chronic disease like diabetes, hypertension, asthma, infectious disease like influenza, HIV, and maternal health. My work started in New York City Department of Health, but for many years has been at the Institute for Family Health, which is a major feature here in Ulster County. And then more recently at Align Chicago, where I work with community health centers across the country to respond to health needs among the medically underserved. My leadership at Align Chicago includes overseeing 30 to 40 active health initiatives that look at improving health both within the walls of hospitals and health centers, but also in the community. And as you know, about a year and a half ago, my position was elevated to including the responsibilities of the CRO, which is administrative, management, staffing, and those kinds of things. Also, which I think is really important to this, is that I've gotten the opportunity to work directly with federal governmental agencies like CDC, Centers for Disease Control, and National Institute of Health, mostly talk about COVID. You probably know, like, things were difficult during COVID for healthcare and public health, but you may not know, it's still really hard. The healthcare system and the public health system is still struggling. But the nice thing is there are solutions that are being offered. And the really cool thing is a lot of these solutions are focused on local health departments through data modernization so that local health departments like ours can respond effectively to the needs of their community. So I just say, like, we are in a very, very complex time in our public health environment, probably more than ever, and it gets worse and worse with environmental and new diseases. And leadership for this position is not going to be easy to come by. You need somebody who understands not only the challenges that are happening right now in public health and in healthcare, but know the solutions that are being offered and the financial incentives to implement those solutions. And I feel I have this unique opportunity or capacity to, given the diverse experience that I have, to really meet those challenges but also foster a really positive environment within the Department of Health and reduce burnout, which is a really important thing right now. The last thing I'll say is that, plus I know Ulster County. And I've worked with so many different agencies, organizations, you all. I've also successfully secured millions of dollars for public health initiatives, millions of dollars. And so I feel like this gives me the capacity not just to meet the needs, but actually elevate our Department of Public Health so that we can really, really have the strong infrastructure to respond to the needs of Ulster County. And I'm so excited to do it, and I would love it if you'd be excited about it too, because there's so much we could do, not just as a county, but within each of your municipalities. And so, you know, I look forward to this opportunity to really dig into it with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Looking at the numbers of this committee, as I said last week, when the minority party had a chance to temporarily stifle a housing project for 1 month, I switched my vote to a yes to get it done. I will do the same thing today so Eve's appointment can get to the floor next month where we can debate it, or this month, and we can debate it even further.
Right, can I get a motion to amend as presented?
What's the amendment, sorry?
It was sent down.
Make a motion to amend as presented.
Dollar amendment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Second. Study. Berger? Post. So carried. All right. So adopt as amended. Motion.
What's the motion?
Second. Got it. Discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. One last opportunity. Anybody want me to take anything else out of order?
You should get Jim more time.
It's a late.
Yeah. No, it's fine. The last one, though.
557.
So there you go. So now it's ready. Resolution 557, just was late. I drew there and was a little snap motion.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion.
Wait, did it take a second?
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
We're talking about the $1 million.
Yeah.
This apparently is a grant from Senator Hillbrand's office for upcoming projects at Golden Hill. I think that, you know, we should get it done and, except for money and, you know, it's late. And on with it. There are some, I've had some questions about some, fees. There are expenses in the capital budget about Golden Hill. I didn't know if they were connected, apparently, or not. What's in the capital budget is, has to do with the gate and the light.
No, if there are no questions, I'm happy to try it.
My only question, which has been all along, is how does this change the profit margin for the developers?
So we passed that question back to Penrose, and what ends up happening relative to this is it changes the amount of debt that they have to pull in from that. So they have a mortgage with the HCR as it relates to that, and that debt change, that would be a debt change. They would also tell you, and you've asked this question as well, is that their profit is essentially locked in when they sign their final contract for with HCR. So it doesn't change any of those fees whatsoever.
But at the end of the day, they will receive more money because they'll have to take on less debt. They'll net a bigger profit because of this. And yet we've expended money. We've done the demo. We've done a whole bunch of things. We keep on doing more. And yet, listen, I don't want to turn away money. Of course not. So why does this developer get so enriched off of the stuff that we're doing?
So the answer, what I would give you is that these things are improvements that also benefit the county of Ulster and the city of Kingston and the uses on Golden Hill. The traffic signal itself, which part of this money will go for, benefits your transportation facility that's up on Golden Hill. And the water supply system that's being improved at the city of Kingston actually provides water to the tank and pump station on Golden Hill, which provides water to, and we have a responsibility as a secondary system to provide that water, provides water to the Golden Hill nursing facility, provides water to the project as proposed, provides water to your mental health department, as well as it provides water down over the hill to the county jail.
No question that we are seeking a benefit of this as well, but we are not getting the sole benefit of this.
That gets point.
We're not getting the sole benefit. The developer is getting a benefit, financial benefit out of this, and we just keep on piling up on the benefits. At this point, we need to move forward, but I just think future projects, this is something that we need to have built in when we agree to these projects, that there's got to be caps. We can't keep on funding stuff just to get their profit margin higher at the end. It just doesn't seem right.
Okay. Can I just add that the project total is $86 million. The amount of contribution that was made is very limited. It's really with the ARPA funding that we put towards the jail demo, which is federal funds. So $86 million in all different funding sources that have been put together by the community citizens about that.
Accept and acknowledge that. It doesn't change the fact that the developer is getting further rich by stuff that we're doing. Whether we've got a dollar in the game or $1 million in the game or several million, it still changes the fact that at the end of the day, their net profit margin goes up. And ours does not change. If we didn't do the demo, they would have had to, which originally was my understanding of the deal, but things have changed as we've gone along with these projects. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Sure.
Thank you, John.
All right. Last opportunity.
There is a ticket for million by the
four, sorry, say it again.
Four agents.
Well, those are two away, so we'll get them a second. Resolution 356. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? I'll just say I am concerned. I don't think we should be establishing any requirements with naming. Actually, I was going to send the left just now. naming specific material. Is it possible to ask real quick? If not, it's fine. Okay. Well, let me just put my thought there. Is naming specific materials, we can name performance requirements of materials, but to name a specific material concerns me greatly. As comments have been made to me, well, this is a natural material, this is great, this is all kinds of things. I just remind everybody, asbestos is a natural material. So, I'm not trying to equate this, but to use the argument, this is natural, so everything is fine and we can just move forward. That is not always the best argument.
So I've had conversations with our safety department just to see what additional information is circulating within the code realm on this. They are looking into this. Obviously, anything that's used in insulation has to be code compliant to meet current R factors. So we will have additional information on that front. I know Legislator Hewitt reached out to Russell Pondre as well to have discussions on this in the practicality of how this is used currently. So there's additional conversations happening there. So we can certainly provide updates for you.
I'll make a motion to postpone on one.
I'll second that.
Any discussions? All those in favor, just going on? Opposed? Okay. All right. Resolutions 358 and 447 were
postponed and defeated.
Yeah, postponed and defeated in laws and rules. 480. Can I have a motion to amend it presented?
Make a motion.
Second?
No, second. Then.
Discussion? All those in favor? Very much to adopt as amended.
Make a motion to adopt as amended.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. 505, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Nate, good.
Thanks.
Thank you. 508, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Yeah, this tourist. I say this at every year when we do these. We have local vendors that could be doing this work. We need to have a state preference maybe. This company is out of Oklahoma, I believe, or Texas, one of the two. I think we also just need to look at our advertising approach. Let's actually see,
I believe that there is a preference, extra points that are given in the scoring for local. So that is taken into consideration, but it's not the only factor.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Forget it. Look forward. Opposed.
Thank you.
And that's it. 519, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 510, can I have a motion?
Motion, probably.
Second. Only discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
511, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
That's
opposed. So carried. 512, can I have a motion? Make it.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Opposed.
513, I'll make a motion to postpone 1 month.
Rita,
additional information from the exact office.
And that's not going to cause any.
Yep.
Second motion to postpone.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 514, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 515, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. 516, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 517, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes.
Question. We're spending $1 million for one contract from what I understand. It is for 10 children, 100 children. I got the numbers mixed up. We did this previously. Do we have any previously was paid for by ARPA? Do we know how the program it works? Is it, are we getting our money's worth out of this program? And is it worth spending $1 million on it?
They did a presentation at the Health and Human Services Committee. Clinton, thank you very much. Legislator Clinton has spoken about this. This serves her middle school, and her response to this has been an incredible service for the middle school, and that if they could support more kids, she would love to have them support more kids.
I was just going to mention that the director came and gave a great presentation, so it's all online if you want to look for more details.
Thank you.
I did reach out to both of my school districts about the program, and again, very good feedback and has made a difference in some students' lives.
Very positive feedback from my school district, the Arcadia School District, and a request that we try to expand this program if possible.
Yeah, and I got to thank Congressional Legislator Flynn, and I spoke about this a couple months ago, and she wishes there was more of it. It's a fantastic program.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, sorry.
It is in all middle
schools.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The Terry 522, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Terry 525, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 529. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. 530. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Can I have a motion to postpone 1 month? I'll make that. Second?
Can I ask why?
Additional information related to the appraisal. Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? To respond, do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second? Let me take an action. 534. Options?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 535. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Okay.
Do you have a discussion?
No.
I do not throw in a second, sorry.
I'll do a second.
Thank you.
530.
530.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Which one you don't left?
535.
I just got a brief comment on that.
Yes.
That I see that the fee that we're paying the FTY is $9,000. Wondering what kind of training we get for $9,000. And there's nobody local, one of our own fire departments or volunteers can't provide, share their service with us.
Reasonably sure that this is to buy into a larger program, so it gains us access to the training. Sort of like a consortium.
Fair enough.
We're 100% for that. Are those in favor?
Five.
Yeah.
Opposed?
Yeah.
Carried. 536. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Second. Can I have a discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 537.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second. Discussion? You get the ballot. Since the questions are over, did not get a response on you.
So what's the question?
Yeah, I believe it was, so it's an increase in cost, and I guess I think my question on this was, if we had done quicker, would we have avoided this additional cost?
Hmm.
So it is a timing issue on that cost.
We didn't address that in committee, but I would say that that generally is the case. But we are moving a lot of projects, so I don't know that there's a remedy for that other than to keep trying to move them as quickly as possible. It is absolutely true. And I don't know if we could even get a month-by-month figure on that, but certainly over 6 months or a year, if there's any delay at all on these projects, prices are going up.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, having a project management system, as we've been talking about, would help with that. It would identify delays, and maybe maybe we're understaffed, and we kind of that could be identified. Things like this, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head what the amount was for this cost, but certainly, if it could have been avoided, we would have saved some.
We are doing a project management type of meeting, and I think it has value. And I think looking at staffing as we go forward makes a lot of sense. There are proposals for increased staffing for bridges and in DPW for 2025.
All those in favor?
That's fine.
530 is the bond. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Carried. 539, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 540 is the bond. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 541, can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second? Thank you. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 542. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 543. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 544. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 545. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, carried. 546, our motion to postpone 1 month. We need additional changes. That's just shown on the language of the policy.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. 547 is being withdrawn. 548, not which motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 549, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I'd just like to bring up the point when I first looked at this, shouldn't this have gone to laws and rules instead of ways and means?
Question for the clerk, but my understanding is that laws, and I sort of agree with this, but the policies don't necessarily go to laws and rules. It goes to their committee of original jurisdiction, which would be this committee. Certainly, we could potentially enact that future, but as of right now, it's at the discretion of the clerk of justice.
Fair enough.
I just want to say I appreciate this. I think getting standard language across all our contracts, across all our departments is important. I support this.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 550, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 551, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 552, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 552 was...
What's
worse? 554, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 555 was postponed. 557 was in there. Had some upcoming meetings. Some are here, some are going to be. Not these ones are regular. Working resolutions. Dr. Lilly Galvis.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. County continues to be in good financial shape. I'll give you a few numbers. And we are looking at ways to provide this in writing to you next year so that I'm not rattling off numbers and you're not walking away with something more concrete. But as of today, the county's earned sales tax revenues of $119.3 million. That's 71% budget, or 2.67% more than last year, same period. Obviously, we're going to be sharing some of that with the towns and cities and villages. Occupancy tax, great news there too, $4.7 million so far. That's 75% of budgeted. And I think, you know, given that you raised double the occupancy tax and double the budgeted revenues, this is a very good sign. I believe that we will close out actually probably beyond budget slightly because the fall receipts are not in. Interest income for the year so far, $6.7 million. I'm sorry, budgeted $6.7 million, earned $7.2 million so far this year, so 107.7% of budget. So that's a good sign. We still have a lot of money at Bank of Green County. And you guys, the Investment Advisory Committee, while it's met a few times, has not, to my mind, made substantial progress. And I am continuing to raise the issue that we are not diversified. I've been at this committee, at this body, for several years saying this. So I'm yet again on the record saying that we are not diversified. Yes, I understand that our money, a portion of our funds are in IntraFi, and that does spread the risk. But should something happen to the bank who is the front door to IntraFi, that would make it challenging for us to get our money out. So I'm not saying we wouldn't be covered, but what I'm saying is this is not wise investment strategy. Our final numbers from the 2023 audit show total revenues for last year of $353.8 million for the general fund, across all funds, $402.57 million, and other funding sources across all governmental funds, $26.37 million. So currently, I just want to note that the governmental fund total revenues and other sources are understated in New World by $1.3 million because of unreported audit adjusting entries. I've been saying this to you guys. I have not been able to produce a Q4 2023 report. That is still true today because we are still making changes. I know the team downstairs is working as hard as they can in finance to get these entries in. So I'm really just telling you to educate you. If we were in a financial pickle, if funds were scarce, this would be an issue, but we're luckily in a surplus environment and we have time right now to adjust. And I know everybody's working as hard as they can. So it's not, I'm not bringing it to you to say that there's something that you should do from a policy perspective. I believe that the team is working as hard as they can to get this done. And this is a result of transition and changing auditors and changing rules. So I feel it's incumbent on me to raise this issue to you to let you know. So, that's a concern, but hopefully we're working through it. And I think the finance will have New World updated to match the audit, hopefully by the end of the week. I just wanted to report cannabis revenues. You did see in the newspaper the county executive reporting on cannabis revenues. In 2023, total revenues were $41,996. Year to date in 2024, $51,598. 25% of those funds are for us as a county. The rest are distributed to the municipalities. Lots of cannabis management, honestly, has been a nightmare in terms of allocating revenues. They have changed the way they communicate it. They've allocated revenues to the wrong place based on the name of the city and their address, which, as we all know, every but half the county has a Kingston address to live in Kingston. So it's taking them some time to work things out. On the expense side, final numbers from the 23 audit show total expenditure $323 million thereabouts for the general fund. I'm not going to go into the rest of the detail here, but just to say that, you know, as this mentioned, expenditures are understated in the world by the same amount that revenues are on space side. So I'm going to move on just to fund balance, which is fun, and we've been waiting to put out a fund balance report, which I also think will inform your budget discussions, waiting for these 23 numbers to firm up. But fund balance at the end of 2023 in the general fund, $171.1 million. I can't even believe I'm saying that to you. Many of you are new at the table and haven't necessarily been working in county government for decades, but I think those of us who have been know that that's really, it's really kind of a shockingly large number. Restricted and non-spendable fund balance is $68.4 million, assigned fund balance $36.3 million, and unassigned fund balance $66.4 million. So at the end of the day, you know, we're over where we should be if the policy is interpreted exactly as it is. We recognize that the housing trust fund doesn't fit perfectly within the policy and that is charged with decline. I want to just note on the bank rec side, you know, we have been working through the transition of us in the comptroller's office actually conducting bank reconciliations to having that done downstairs in finance while we review it, because it was a threat to our independence to review our own work. And that change was made in the charter last year. We have bank recs through May. June will be upstairs shortly. And, you know, there was a period of time where they were very behind and they're catching up, so that's a good thing. The external audit is completed, and that's excellent, and they actually met the deadline, which is also good. I'm going to turn on to our work. Our quarterly report, as I mentioned, continues to be delayed. And, you know, it's frustrating because when I came to the Office of Comptroller, really wanted to tighten up the time frame between the end of the quarter and when we get you a report. And certainly being 10 months late is definitely not where we want to be. So I'm really hoping that you know, after this audit is completed, that will not be a problem going forward. We are currently auditing the P-card program of the county. That's the county's credit card program. And I think that we'll have something completed for you by the end of the year. Our occupancy tax audit is underway. We're hoping to have at least one part of the report to you by the end of the year that will include detail on the all-inclusive exemptions. We will make that a priority to the extent that we have other findings that need to be written up that seem like they're taking a long time. We will try to get you the all-inclusive numbers as soon as possible. Our health insurance audit is the final drafting stages. All testing is completed there. And I want to bring to your attention two memorandum that our office has issued in the last couple of weeks. They're available on our website. One memo speaks to the lack of backup documentation for revenues. That means that I'm going to give examples. Examples of like revenues from other governments, like casino revenue, OTB proceeds, lease payment collections from people we're renting to, penalties and interest on occupancy tax receipts, and cash receipts coming in from other departments like the pool proceeds are not being entered into the financial system with enough backup documentation that they can be reviewed adequately by our office. So we're trying to detail exactly which revenues for the finance commissioner, because otherwise they don't know. We're saying we need more, and they're like, what are you asking for? So now we're being very detailed. You can take a look at that memo on our website if you want. This is an internal control issue. So if the pool is collecting a lot of cash, there should be some documentation that says this is how many memberships were sold, this is how much snack bar candy. We are not seeing that. Let's not forget, you know, we've had a credit election for pool proceeds from another organization in charge of finances, and that's one of the reasons we're looking at them. Our second memo was on cash handling, because I think you're hearing that cash is an issue. And our memo is recommending a clear delineation separation of duties. That means whoever is in charge of handling journal entry should not be handling cash going to the bank. Enhanced monitoring of collection stations. We do not have cameras pointing at our cash collection stations. And we accept very large payments of cash, you guys, in excess of five figures. So we have people come in to pay their taxes with more than $10,000 in cash. We do not file the forms that a bank would be required to file, and we are not required to with the federal government. But it does mean there's a large volume of cash that comes into certain drawers at certain times, and we do not have cameras pointing at those. We may want to consider limiting the amount of cash that you can bring in. It could be used as a way to legitimize illegal funds the way it's set up currently. Our community college chargebacks report, I know I've been talking about it for a while, it's in final design, so it should be out any day now, and we are continuing to work on an emergency housing update. We are receiving reporting on contracts. I have to say, you know, the quality analyst is continuing to work with departments to get contracts, to get the reporting on those, and we have had a major effort in the last few weeks. I'm going to hand something out here on a vendor payment and contract dashboard. But before I do that, I want to mention two other issues, because then I'm going to hand this document out. The two issues are, I want you to know we're having a very difficult time with sheriff's payroll. When the sheriff sends their payroll over to finance, there are a lot of mistakes and errors in it. They've had a change in staffing on payroll in the sheriff's department. Then it comes to us, it may still have errors, and there are a lot of changes that need to happen between the time that it's first sent and the time it's executed. I'm just bringing this to your attention. I'm not asking you to do anything. I just want you to know that's a very big strain on the staff in finance and the staff in the controller's office, and we've actually elevated a collective bargaining question that we're hoping that the administration will bring into collective bargaining, which is how shift overtime is handled in the UCSEA contract. Right now, it is so complicated, the staff administering payroll can barely figure out what it says. So we're working with the sheriff on that and finance. I wanted you to be aware. The second thing I wanted to bring to your attention, we cannot fill the DAC role. I've had the position up multiple times. I'm getting resumes that do not have the staff, do not have the experience or qualifications necessary. The salary makes less than the people they supervise. This position is not working right now. So I probably, before I come to my budget meeting, will come in with some proposals on how to change that. Okay, I wanted to hand this out to you folks. Let's just see. I have 20 here. I hope this is enough. Maybe people can share. particularly on the staff side, and I'm hoping all the legislators can talk to me on this. Right. Okay. So we've been working on a vendor and contact dashboard. If you start on this page that has the title on it, I just want you to see these are screenshots. We're in the final testing phases of this. It will be like the pay dashboard. You will come to the first screen that has the county logo. It'll tell you a little bit about what the thing is. You're going to have to click on a disclaimer to enter the dashboard. You'll come down and you'll be presented with this set of graphs, which will allow you to click into them. I'm going to just bring your attention to this graph on the right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know it's hard to see, but it's showing in 2022, there were $108 million in payments that went out through contracts and 100 in, I think it was $81 million that went out total and really in invoices. And what I want to just say to you is that payments to municipalities are not on a contract. Okay, so when we're making a tax payment to the City of Kingston, it's not part of a contract, it's still a payment. You will be able to get all payments as well as all contracts. So when you click into these contracts, it'll show you a list of the contracts. You will be able to search contracts by vendor name, by department, and by year. So I think it's going to be a very robust system. I had been briefing the legislative chair on it, and he asked me, would there be a way to segregate out all nonprofit contracts. Right now, that's not possible. It's something we could add in 2025. But you will be able to look at all DSS contracts, and you will be able to get a list of all those contracts, and you will be able to see, I think, that many, if not most of those contracts are actually nonprofits. So, and then you'll also be able to drill down into a particular vendor. You can see on the back, Gateway Hudson Valley. It'll list their contracts. It'll provide links to the contracts and payments made under the contracts. And then finally, you'll be able to search all of the vendors. So I think this will provide a lot of detail that right now is not available. I understand that the Granicus system that the county is working on for their website may have the ability in the future to have a contract, make contracts available. Obviously, we'll work with them. We're not interested in having dueling systems, but this will get you something now. And we are finding that there are contracts from 1980 that are still in effect in Ulster County because they're easements or what have you. We're working to gather those super old contracts that we don't have. There's not that many. There's like four or five that aren't already in New World that we can't get to. So it's going to be a really robust system, and I think it will really allow you to see what has happened in the past. It will not have proposed contracts that are coming before you for decision-making purposes on a resolution. These are contracts that have been adopted by the county. So we're really excited about that. I hope to have it out by the end of this month. It depends on our testing. If our testing is not showing that it's at an adequate level of correct data, then we will, you know, obviously take longer and we'll brief you on that. But we're really excited about it. I think it's going to really make both the legislature's job easier, but also department heads, you know. We see contracts coming up, and I wonder to myself, like, does – I know the deputy county executives know across departments, but does one particular department head know all the contracts that their vendor is working on? Can they see all the payments, et cetera? So I think it's going to really enhance the work of the county. Yeah. Happy to take any questions you guys have.
Those are comments.
I'm going to go back to the diversification issue that you brought up at the beginning of your presentation. So there was a resolution months ago to require that no bank had more than 5% of the deposits from us. I forget the exact wording of it. I was against that because it would move too much money too fast. So my question is, how do we take, for example, the money from Green County Bank, which is a significant portion of their total fund balance, and move it in a way that doesn't destroy them? Is there a way that we can create policy that moves money out without becoming a seismic event for the bank? Just a suggestion. If you have a suggestion, suggest a policy. But I do agree with you. We do need to not have such a significant portion of a fund balance of a bank?
I think you could say, you know, you could, I'd hate for you actually to limit it by like that. I'm going to tell you why. I agree with you. I don't think we should remove all of our funds from Bank of Green County. I think we need to be very measured about it. And I've frankly been talking to them about this for years, so they know that the comptroller wants this done. But in a situation where you felt like a bank was a risk, you might want to move a big chunk of money. And I don't think it's a good idea to limit the finance commissioner's ability to make a big movement if they felt like they needed to. So I don't think that's wise. And I think you have a team here who understands how sensitive this is. And I don't think you're going to see the finance team move a huge chunk in a way that would damage the bank. So those are my thoughts. I wouldn't want to limit Commissioner Dawes' ability to make a sudden move if she felt she needed to for some reason.
The follow-up really is there a policy that we should put in place that, you know, can carry on beyond, I believe that Commissioner Dawes is going to do the right job, but, you know, something that we can put in place for the future to make sure that we don't get to this situation again and that we can, you know, I don't know what that policy is.
I mean, our investment policy right now says we're supposed to be diversified and we're not.
Okay. So it could be, so it's there, it's just not being, Thank you.
Yeah.
That's comprehensive.
What did you say was the fund balance again?
I'm sure. Hold on one step. 171 point something.
171.1 in the general fund. The unassigned fund balance is 66.4 million. We will have a fund balance report out for you guys shortly.
Thank you.
Commissioner Dawes?
I just wanted to say that the Investment Advisory Board is addressing all the investment issues that she's brought up that has been on the table that is being discussed. So it's the sensitivity of the entire thing, the diversity, all of that is being discussed amongst that committee as you guys have intended for them to do.
Chair, I just, before we, or if when we finish this section, if there were any resolutions that were voted on before I was able to arrive, I would like to have the chance to vote on those. I didn't see all of the resolutions from the front page come by me. They may have to vote
so we took
on paper.
523 we took first.
I'd like to be a yes on that.
And then second, we took the late, which is 557.
I'm a yes on that.
Then we did 356.
Sorry. 356, yes.
And we did 480. We amended it and adopted it as amended.
With the different dollar value?
Yes.
I'm a yes on that.
And then 505.
Yes.
And then I have you after that.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I'm just going to change my vote on 508 just so it doesn't have to go down. So I'm going to change my vote to a yes on 508. After the catch-up fee, we're going to hold off on that until the meeting on the 9th. Any old business? Any new business? Sorry.
Have fun in budget season, everyone.
I make a motion to adjourn before I'm here.
Second. Colleagues, discussion. Favor.
Aye.
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 Aye.